wonderful to see everybody gathered together for our time of worship at Flat Springs Baptist Church, especially coming out in our odd weather we've been experiencing for quite some time now. But before we begin our worship service, I would like to make a couple of announcements to make sure we're aware of a few things. First of all the announcements you will hear me say are going to be in our newsletter, the March newsletter, and I'm about to reference this in particular in just a moment. But before that, I did want to welcome any guests that are here, and if you are a guest with us, we're excited that you have chosen to be here, and we'd love to have a record of you being with us and to have a little information. And the best way to do that is to fill out the guest card that is located in front of you, and when you put that in the offering plate, that gives us a way to share some more information with you about how God is at work through our church. When you get a chance, make sure you do pick up a newsletter. If they're not already here, there's plenty in the atrium. Make sure you pick one of these up. In particular, you'll see the Wild Game Dinner mentioned, and you'll also see that the family ministry calendars have been updated, and those are next to the newsletters as well. And you'll also see Gary's article that he always has in there, and specifically in this one, there are some instructions that you need to follow and we're asking everyone to participate in. It's going to deal with our Connecting Stories meeting that will be April 16th and the 17th. And in the article, we're asking everyone to write just a brief summary, a page about your story. And there are some specific points of what to write, and it's just a way to be engaged leading up to that meeting to see how God has brought you here at Flat Springs, whether that was last week, last year, or some time ago. And there are several specific points within the article for you to write about and think about and begin to pray over as we approach that very important time in our church in April. Also, I'd like to make the announcement that we're trying to gather information about anyone, any group of people who would like a ride to Rodney Keith's memorial service this Tuesday in Virginia. If you could, contact Gary, myself, or Bill Cotton as soon as you can, let us know about that so we can make sure everything's taken advantage of ahead of time. A lot to digest, a lot to take in, and that's a good thing. That's a blessing to see how God is at work. Are there any other brief announcements that didn't make their way up here before we have a word of prayer? Diaconate will meet Thursday night, 7 p.m. Excellent. All right, now let's begin our worship service with a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for this time where you've called us together for a time of worship. Lord, we want this short hour to be a time where we reflect on how you are speaking to us. Lord, we recognize that it is you reaching out to us. It is by your grace that you have called us and have brought us to this point to be thankful for the fact that we are alive, for the fact that you have given us purpose and mission this week to display your Son, Jesus Christ, in all we do and say. And Lord, we pray that specifically in his name. Amen. Now let's spend a few moments preparing our heart and minds for prayer.
beautiful way to start worship. And I believe that song will preach. Isn't that right? It'll preach. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Number 417. Let's stand as we sing. And somebody.
Thank you for bringing us here safely on another Sunday. Please forgive us of our many sins. Use this offering for your glory, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
hearing so many of you sing, and I'm excited about the rest that are about to sing in a little bit. Well, you might see with me some board games here, and I wanted to ask you, how many of you played a board game before? Pretty sure everybody's probably played a board game. Now, what is your favorite board game you've ever played? Your favorite? Favorite board game, or even a card game? Can you think of one? Well, I'll come back to you. Pictopia. Okay, very good. Do you have one?
Battleship.
I love that. That's a great one. What else? Your favorite board game? Candyland. That's a classic, right? Good. What else? Clue. That's another good one. There's a lot of board games if you think about it. I brought a few of my favorite. One is a card game, Rook. I don't know if you played Rook, but that's one that's one of my favorite. You may have seen a game called Aggravation. That's a game that's been around for a little while. And my all-time favorite, I think you've probably seen it, Monopoly, right? Everybody see Monopoly? Play Monopoly? I love Monopoly, right? That got a good response. That must be a favorite. Well, board games are fun, right? And did you know that over 150 years ago, one of the most popular board games called the Game of Life was introduced? And I don't know if you've played Life, but it's a really interesting game where at the beginning you start to choose what path you're going to go on as a player. You can go to college or you can get a job right away, and as you move your person along the little spaces, sometimes you have to do things. A card will tell you something you have to do, or you may have a choice to do something in the game of life. Well, this morning we're going to read one verse that Jesus tells his disciples. One sentence, one very important thing Jesus tells his disciples about life in general. And then I'm going to explain to you what he's saying, okay? In Mark chapter 9, verse 35, imagine Jesus sitting with his 12 disciples. It says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all. And you may wonder, what does that mean exactly, that Jesus wants us to be last and the servant of all? Well, before this, Jesus knew that the disciples were asking who was the greatest. Basically, who was the most important disciple? And Jesus knew that this was a very big time for him to teach them something very important. And he wanted to teach them it's not a game to think that we need to be first. It's not like a board game where you want to win or you want to be first. In real life, the life God's given us, he wants us to always think about other people first. And the reason we do that is when we're thinking about other people and we care about other people before we even think about ourselves, it shows them that we love God and that we follow everything Jesus teaches us. So I want you to remember that this week. As fun as it is to play a board game and to want to be first in that, Jesus teaches us to think about other people first so other people can know that God loves them and us. Okay? So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for the way you teach us always. And you teach us this week, Lord, to think about other people so we can all know that you love us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I'll see y'all next week.
forward to two Sunday nights in the month of May where we'll have youth presenting a spring program, and then the two children's choirs presenting another Sunday night in May. So we'll look forward to that. Hymn number 421, Whosoever Meaneth Me.
I'm pleasantly surprised to see anybody this morning, I'm going to be honest with you. And if I'd known this many were coming, I'd have prepared a little better sermon. We'll see how it works out for us. Let me invite you to open your bulletin. There are some prayer concerns there. There's a praise. Miss Aubrey Ann McFarland has entered our world at 7 pounds and 5 ounces, and we are grateful for that wonderful miracle. It is, I would say, at least in the top three or four honors that I have as pastor, is to be with the family and see that baby when it is brand spanking new. Because each time I do, I realize I'm seeing a human being for the first time. That's an amazing thing that another person has entered our world. And we're grateful for that. You may have gotten, I hope everyone is getting our phone tree. If you're not getting the one that mentioned some needs, I'd let us know. We had to retweak that, in fact, do a major overhaul on our phone tree. Hopefully it's working better. Let me know if you're not getting it or if you get something that you can't understand or some other issue with it. But hopefully you heard that Garen Moss had been in the hospital with some testing done. The test all came back negative, but they're still going to try to figure out some of the things going on with him with some numbness that he's experiencing. And then you may have noticed that Matt left. Lillian has been sick. In fact, they've called the doctor today, and I think they're going to try to take her in a little bit, running some fever. So we want to keep Miss Lillian in our prayers in a very special way. Last week messed up a lot of things with the weather that we had, obviously. And one thing, Richard O'Quinn was scheduled last week to have had a heart ablation at Duke Hospital, and that has been rescheduled for this Thursday. We want to be remembering him. And then, as we did mention, we are going to see if there are enough, or if there are enough to take our bus with us for the funeral service. Several have mentioned they'd like to go to the Rodney Keith service, which is at 2 o'clock in Chesapeake, Virginia. That's about a 3.5 to 4 hour drive from here. But if you're interested, let us know. We'll be taking some cars if we don't get enough for the bus. So let us know if you'd like to go. We certainly want to keep the Rodney Keith family in our prayers in a very, very special way. You also see the name of Addison Webster. Addison had a procedure this week, and we are grateful that he is home doing well. Also, thank you for remembering Rebecca. She is out of the hospital. She came home yesterday, and I saw her over in the overflow room as I was coming in. We appreciate your prayers for her. Let's pray together, shall we? God, we are grateful for your provision for us in so many ways. And as we now are in that pattern of moving toward Easter, we must go by way of the cross. We must recognize again, as though for the first time, that you died for us. And that must be personal. And it must be real. And your love changes everything. And we have a list of names of people that we have just called and are listed in our bulletin. And we know your love changes everything. And we pray, oh God, for your love to manifest itself in each of these circumstances, these situations. And then, oh God, we pray that you might help us as we continue that thought of making our decisions in the game of life that we play every day, that we are involved in. For those choices really do matter. Speak to us now. As our choir will share with us an anthem and challenge our very spirit, may we hear not only the music, but also the message. And may it communicate your truth to us in such a way that we realize how wonderful your grace is. And then, oh God, help us as we with the disciples this morning in our message will move closer to Easter and your amazing grace. In Jesus' name.
of anything I've ever seen and done. How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be? To this place, I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace, by grace.
I'm just a sinner.
Music and the message stir your soul. A sinner saved by grace. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. And as I've said, as we conclude the next several Sundays with our decision-making series, now our decisions deal with Easter. Deal with that last week of Jesus' life. Deal with the preparation that's about to be made as we're going to read today. And then Jesus himself making the decisions that he made that gave us a chance at life. I thought it ironic and mentioned to my wife, my title is Deciding Without Knowing, and this morning at 7 o'clock, Bill and I were here at the church trying to determine whether we were going to go or not, not knowing with the weather like it is. You know, the weather can help us to make decisions without knowing. Circumstances, certainly. A phone call. A loved one. Sometimes bad decisions can help us to change everything. And sometimes good decisions. But often we're called to make those decisions without knowing exactly how they're going to wind up. We have a glimpse of that in our text today, Mark chapter 14. We're going to read verses 12 through 16. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. My watch was not behaving. I've got that it is 5 minutes after 11. Everybody in agreement that is right? I had mentioned to Gene, you know, they said by 4 o'clock they know it'd be safe, and I can probably go to 4. I don't think I could, to be honest. Hear the reading of God's holy word. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover, the last Passover our Lord would share on this earth. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment about how you move in our lives? In Jesus' name. Do you ever feel indecisive? Do you ever feel like you'd like to make up your mind to make up your mind? Well, I might can make you feel a little bit better today. Octavio Gillian and Adriana Martinez became engaged. They were both 15 years of age. That was in 1902. They got married 67 years later in 1969 when they were both 82. It took them a long time to decide, didn't it? What decision do you need to make today? What decision do you need to make for the Lord that would make a difference in your home? That would make a difference in your going to work, going to school? Have you ever thought you'd needed to meet somebody that you'd never met before? I wonder if there's somebody that this week you've never met before that will be a divine assignment. I remember when a few years ago we decided to go out to South Dakota, and I had made some phone calls and talked to some people on the phone that I had never met. And it occurred to me on the way riding out there, I wonder if everything they've told me is the way it's going to be. Sometimes we've got to move out of our comfort zone, that proverbial place where life is predictable, to do what God would have us to do. It's an innocent little story in the Scripture. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever really preached on it before. And in fact, our main focus may well be on two disciples and a man carrying a bottle of water or a jar of water. All about deciding. How do we decide when we don't know exactly what we need to do or what the outcome might be or where we're going and what it'll look like when we get there? Well, the first thing we do is do as the disciples do, is we seek God's counsel. It says that as it came to that time in verse 12, they ask, "Where will you have us go? What will you have us do, God?" That might be the perfect prayer to begin every morning. God, what would you have me do today? One of my favorite verses is, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Maybe I need to say, "Lord, this is the day you have made, and how can I be a good steward with it today? What can I do that would be pleasing in your sight?" I've discovered that the more I talk with God, the more God influences my decision making. A large part of our prayer should involve asking God for direction rather than things. Now, maybe that went right over your head. Let me say that again. That may be worth writing down. the majority of our prayer time should be involved more with asking God about the direction rather than the things. How long would it take us to do a quick inventory of our prayer life? Are they often, Lord, I need this, and Lord, I need that, and Lord, could you help me out of this situation and out of that situation, and Lord, could you help us over here and over there? And God says, those are valid prayers. Please don't misunderstand. Those aren't invalid prayers, but they shouldn't be our only prayer. If you're my friend and I get in need, I should be able to call on you in my time of need, right? But if the only time I ever call on you is in my time of need, that might not be the kind of friendship that you'd like to be involved in. When our prayer life is maturing, we spend more time in conversation with God and less time requesting things of God. When we decide that even though we may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, we're sure we're going to spend quality time with God in discussing how our decisions can honor God, then we begin to change. We begin to see life differently. We begin to handle issues differently. We must seek God's counsel. As surely as the disciples said, where will you have us go and prepare the Passover for you? We need to say, tomorrow Monday when I go to school, God, how can I go with you? How can you be involved in my world? Those are a way to help us decide without knowing. Now let me pause for just a second and say there's a difference between praying for God's counsel and praying to put some spiritual veneer on my counsel. And I think it's well, in his book, Predictably Irrational, of a few years ago, Dan Ariely, a professor, came up to that. He decided it was time for him to get out of the motorcycle business and buy a car. And it was a big shift for him because, you know, a motorcycle says things about you, right, guys? And so he found an online survey to find out the perfect car for him. He said, this is great. This will help me make my decision. And so it began to ask you questions about how you'd use the car and what your family demographics are. And on the questions went. And you kept putting in all the answers, and he just kept filling out the survey. And when it came to the end, it said he needed to buy a Ford Taurus. A Ford Taurus. And he said, nah. I'm not going from a motorcycle to a Ford Taurus. And so he did what sometimes we might do in our prayer life. He started hitting the back button on the computer, you know? And some of those questions that he had answered probably pretty honestly the first time, he began to realize they were Ford Taurus kind of answers. And so he changed those answers. And when he came to the end, it said he needed a Mazda, I don't know, Misha? M-I-A-T-A, y'all know that car? I'm thinking a Miata. Obviously, I'm a Ford Taurus kind of guy myself. But I thought about that. And I've got an app on my phone. We can do it, you know. And it's called My Fitness Pal. And you do a little interview, and it'll tell you how many calories you can eat and how much exercise you can do. And if you're not liking the results, you can go right back to that profile, and you can change some things about it and get a different result. And sometimes in our prayer, if we'd be honest, we're not after God's counsel. We're after what we want. There's a difference. seeking God's counsel and making the decisions, godly decisions, when we don't know what it's going to look like, are important. Then secondly, not only do we need to seek God's counsel, then we've got to go when God sends us. There comes a time when we must act. And that's what Jesus' disciples told him in verse 13. It says, and they went and did as he told them. There's a time to go. I love the story that Tony Campello tells. He was speaking before several thousand women years ago, and all of a sudden at one of the business meetings right before he was to speak, a lady stood up and said, we've just gotten a phone call. There's a dire need of a missionary. They need $5,000 by the end of this week to help the mission continue. And it caught the MC of the conference off guard, and so not knowing what else to do, she looked at Tony Campello and said, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer about this matter? And Tony walked up to the microphone and he said, no, ma'am, I won't. He said, we don't need to pray. Now, if I just stop right now, it sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? But Tony said, you know, there are 5,000 people at this conference. And if we each gave a dollar, there'd be no more need. I don't think God wants us to pray. I think it's time to do. There comes a time when we don't need to pray. You don't need to pray if there's a sin in your life and you know there's a sin in your life. If you know there's a behavior in your life that is ungodly, you don't need to come and kneel at the altar and pray about it. You might need to come and confess it. There's no need to pray, God, can I keep doing this? Can I keep going down this? Can I keep this before me, Lord? You don't need to pray about that. The answer is no. You don't need to pray about when it's time to do the right thing and sharing your faith. I love the story that comedian Ken Davis tells. He said that a man was sitting and he was praying. He was on the bus and he was praying and he asked God. He said, God, I'd like to share my faith. If you want me to speak to someone, would you give me a sign? No sooner had he said amen from that prayer that a man got on the bus, walked to the back, sat beside him, and said, do you know anything about Jesus? To which he began to pray, Lord, I just need one more sign. If you really want me to talk to this stranger about you, would you please turn the bus driver into an armadillo? Are we praying for God to do some armadillo changing? Are we going to put God in some place in our prayer life that we know what we should do, but we're still waiting for God to turn drivers into armadillos, which we know He'll never do, and therefore we know we won't ever change? We need to do those things we need to do. Mark Twain, who was questionable at least in his theology, once made a memorable quote, as he often did about so many things. His quote is this: it ain't those parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the part I do understand. And you know what? You don't need to be praying about those parts. We know what God says to do. And our faithfulness in our prayer, in our Bible study, in our giving, in our sharing His love. We don't need to be praying about that. We need to get up and go. Where would God have us go to this week? And maybe that going could be on the phone, or maybe it could be over the internet. Where would God have us to go? What would God have us to do? When we seek God's counsel, then we can count on God. He actually and honestly will tell us where to go, and then we must go. And then the real part of the message, as we conclude this morning, is my last point. Let God use prepared people to show us. Look at what Jesus said to do. He says, go into the city, and you'll find a man carrying a jar of water. And follow him. And when he gets to that, this is almost an undercover operation, isn't it? And there's some credence to that, because this is the week that they are seeking to kill Jesus. So So a little bit of espionage makes some sense when you read it. Go and find a man carrying a jar of water, and he'll greet you. Shalom would probably be the greeting. Peace. It was the normal greeting. It was hello or how are you or hey in our culture. They were looking for a man carrying a jar of water. I wonder what the conversation might have been as the two disciples were on their way to prepare the room. Oh, they probably had all kind of thoughts. Wonder why we do we really need to be in Jerusalem this week? Why did he tell us to find a man carrying a jar of water? Disciples probably saw other men carrying tools and carrying buckets, pulling donkeys and with children in tow. But they weren't looking for them. They were looking for a man carrying a jar of water. Who are we looking for? Who are we looking for? Who are we looking for on Facebook? Who are we looking for at school or at work? Who are we looking for? I wonder what would happen if they'd end up following a man who carried a pitchfork. That wasn't what they were told to do. I don't know how many men they saw. I don't know how long they had walked. I don't know if they had begun to become frustrated because they weren't finding this man, but they were looking for a man carrying a jar of water. There are two people we ought to be looking for next week, or maybe not people, two categories of people. That might be a better way of saying it. There are two categories of people we need to be looking for next week. We need to be looking for two kinds of people carrying jars of water, if you will. The first are those who will help us. We need to make sure that we're getting our counsel from godly sources. Not veneered sources. I see a lot of spiritual stuff on Facebook, and I see a lot of people posting and attaching that stuff, and not all of it's good. Not all of it's godly. Just because it says God doesn't mean it's godly. We need to be careful. We need to be careful where we get our source from. We need to be finding those people that we know because we have seen God at work in their life, and we can trust them. That's where we need to be getting our sources from. And then the second category of people are those that we might help. Those that can help us is the first category, and those we might help, that's the second category. Those are those unique divine appointments. It might be at Walmart, someone needing help with a basket. It might be at school, someone struggling with problems that they can't carry alone. We need to make sure that as we receive the power of God in through those godly sources, that we let it out to those who have special needs. If I could take one more liberty with my Facebook and social media and social networking, we need to make sure we're spiritually networked. We need to make sure that as we go out of this place and we head home and we head to where we might go, that we won't be praying, God, unless you're changing people into armadillos, which God doesn't do. Not that he couldn't do, he just doesn't. Then we have limited ourselves. But I just wonder who God will put in our place. How do I make those decisions about not knowing and not knowing how it's going to work out? I network with godly people, and then I look for others to help. What decisions do we need to be making today? What choices? I can't tell you what the weather's going to be next week. I can't tell you what The medical test may say in 6 months or a year. I can't tell you what the next phone call might or might not bring. But I can tell us, I can share with us this reality, that if we seek God's counsel, not Gary's counsel veneered with spiritual stuff, but God's counsel. If we go when God tells us to go and we do what God tells us to do, and we look for those people, God will show us, both to help us and to be helped. It doesn't matter. We'll be ready. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in these moments of choice and decisions about what we don't know might be happening, we're grateful that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there may be one here today who needs to make some decision. And right now, your Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart. And you're inviting them to become more honest than ever before about their walk and their relationship with you. You know every need. You know every choice that could be made, that should be made, and that will be made. And so now, Lord, as you have given us the freedom to choose, what a tremendous blessing and an awesome responsibility. May we choose you. May we decide, even though we don't know what this week will hold, that we know who holds this week. And may we put our faith and our trust and our actions in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 447. Page 447. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart, then we would encourage and invite you to follow through with God as we stand together. Well, according to my watch, it's 11:30, and so we're getting out real early today. No, it's really working just right. thank you for being here. Be careful going home. I'm pretty sure you're going to have wet pavement, but walk carefully, especially where there could be some ice, and thank you for all you do. This week, let's be looking for those God will put in our path carrying jars of water, and see them as those divine appointments that God would give us. Then we'll come back next Sunday and give God the glory for all that He has done in our heart and in our life. Now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from here. And as you go with us, may you influence our living and thereby influence the lives of others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Peace.